When someone asks you, how are you doing? How do you respond? I'm one of those people who usually just says, fine, thanks, and moves along in the conversation. However, I've noticed that when I ask people that question, especially at work, this is often not the response I get. What I usually hear is, I'm busy, or some variation such as, I'm swamped, or I'm stressed. Sometimes this is said with enthusiasm. Someone is deep into a project they're excited about, but usually it has an air of exhaustion and anxiety to it. Oftentimes I think I also pick up an unstated subtext, something along the lines of, I'm doing my part, I'm earning my keep. Of course, hard work is usually a good thing. Most of the people I work with are smart and accomplished teachers and writers and researchers, and much of the work they do aspires to make the world a better place. I'm proud to call them my colleagues. But I've also begun to feel that there is a certain emptiness to that response. I'm busy, I'm swamped, I'm stressed. I've begun to wonder if we're missing out on some important aspect of life that cannot be captured by busyness, one that dissolves in the face of excessive stress and anxiety. When trying to imagine what an antidote to this might be, I arrive at idleness. I like the word idleness because there's something a little scandalous about it, something in it that gently thumbs its nose at our culture of busyness. It also pokes gently at our Christian tradition with its notion of idle hands as the devil's worship, a phrase that appears in Proverbs and is echoed in Ecclesiastes and Paul's letters and other places. But if we can set aside the idea that idleness is not inherently a bad thing, perhaps we can even embrace the possibility that there can be something sacred about idleness. When we talk about the parts of our lives that feel sacred, most of us probably think of more active, impactful moments, the roles we occupy, perhaps especially roles where we are caring or teaching or advocating for others. This is true especially at a church like Edgewood, I think, where many of our members see a direct line between their faith lives and the work they do for justice and peace. But what if our spiritual development might also require more idleness? Perhaps we need to begin by rehabilitating that word, idleness, by placing it among more respectable company. Words such as rest, repose, meditation, play. In the Christian tradition, we also have Sabbath, the day of the week when we are meant to put down our labors and rest. I think it's safe to say that for most of us, this is an especially difficult spiritual practice to keep. If we do manage to find a few hours on Sunday to put aside our labors, there's a sense that it's not so much rest as recharging, catching our breath so that we can hurl ourselves back into the work week. In this way, Sabbath becomes just one more thing in service to work, to productivity, to busyness. This is also reflected in the idea of a vacation, a sort of secular Sabbath in which we save up all our need for rest and release and cram it into 2 weeks in August. In contrast, idleness seems more indulgent, less purposeful. Idleness is a willingness to put down our labors and do something relaxing, even if it's not Sunday, not the scheduled Sabbath. Even if, perhaps, there are more pressing things to do. So beyond merely relaxing, what may make our idle time feel sacred? I don't think sacred idleness has to involve an explicitly religious or spiritual activity, though of course it might. In terms of language, I think of sacred idleness not as a noun or a verb, but as an adverb. That is, not a particular activity, but the manner in which we do any activity or non-activity. Particular adverbs that come to mind are purposelessly, slowly, lovingly, lazily, quietly, calmly. Sacred idleness certainly could mean walking in the woods or praying, but it could also mean binge-watching the new season of Stranger Things, or cooking a slow meal, or reading a beach novel until you drift off into a nap. So how might we see these activities, including ones that are not inherently religious, as sacred, as touchstones for our spiritual growth? Let me suggest a few ways. First, if work has become the default setting for many of us, if busyness has come to feel like the most real or meaningful part of our lives, then cultivating idleness offers an opportunity to snap ourselves out of a trance and see the world with fresh eyes. We might question to what extent we have conformed our lives not to our faith or other deeper values, but merely to the status quo of our culture. At the very least, we might ask ourselves, is this really the life I want to live, that I am meant to live? Another way in which idleness might be sacred is that idleness is close kin to humility. In idleness, we're not doing the world's work, or forwarding our career, or impressing anyone. We're not being purposeful. We're probably not contributing much to the economy, or, for that matter, to our carbon footprint. Performing for the outer world can bring great, meaningful accomplishment, but it can also mean losing sight of who we really are. In our idleness, offstage, and relieved of our duty to perform, we can look deeper into our own hearts and be honest about our fears and sorrows and our brightest hopes. And finally, it may be that in these unguarded moments, we are most able to open ourselves up to God. Psychiatrist Gerald May calls this willingness, a sort of sacred vulnerability and openness to the presence of the divine in our life. May contrasted this with willfulness, which reflects our usual attempt to guarantee a desired outcome through our own effort. In the religious realm, this might mean attempting to reach God through ritual or study or even our own willed attempt at belief. I don't think there's anything wrong with those approaches, though May suggested that for most of us, the way of willingness might be a surer path to God. This tradition reflects the mystical belief that God is always with us, closer than our own breath, our own thoughts. It is not soaring worship or penetrating study or devout belief. In short, it is not our own efforts that most easily brings us to God, but our openness, our vulnerability, our suppleness of mind, our willingness. I'd like to close by telling a story of my own experience. Perhaps this will remind you of yours as well. My place of sacred idleness is the Platte River Campground at Sleeping Bear Dunes. I try to go there at least once a year for 3 or 4 days. I go alone with a tent, backpack, food, and a few camping supplies. When I arrive at the campground, I try to find an isolated corner and set up my little camp. I spend the days hiking and swimming and cooking, in the evenings staring into a campfire. I also spend some time reading and writing, especially in the mornings. My favorite part of the trip comes on the last evening, after I've had a few days of idleness to waken me out of my routine life. On that night, I stay up until midnight, and then I put on my headlamp, grab a flashlight, and walk down to Lake Michigan, a 10-minute hike through the woods down to the beach. At this time of night, the campground is silent, and in all my walks, I have never encountered another person. I come out of the woods through the scrub pines and dunes and make it out to the wide beach. To be alone on the shoreline at this time of night is an immersion in darkness and solitude. To be honest, it's a little frightening. There are no lights to be seen despite visibility for dozens of miles in every direction, including over the dark expanse of Lake Michigan. The rise and fall of the waves is an eternal sound. On a clear night, looking up into the stars, I say a prayer, but then let go of words and try to give myself over to God. I long for a moment of spiritual transcendence, the kind of life-changing event where one feels infused with connection to the divine, something I've read about in the testimonies of saints and mystics and ordinary people. I long for this, but it hasn't happened to me. Not yet, but that's okay. I know those kind of moments are divine gifts and cannot be summoned or cultivated or earned. And while I may not feel something that dramatic sitting alone on the Lake Michigan shoreline, I do come to feel like I know what theologian Paul Tillich meant when he called God the ground of being. In these moments, God becomes pure immensity and otherness, the very premise of everything within the universe and beyond it. Losing myself in the night, in the timeless primordial sound of the waves, I can feel in some dim way God's eternal nature, which always was and always will be. And I also feel how I partake of this nature, and thereby some part of me is eternal as well. I try to give in to this feeling completely, though it is both comforting and frightening. Slowly as I sit there, something else begins to happen. I get lonely. I start to feel a little forlorn, missing my wife and kids, my friends, my church, my neighbors. I feel the depth of my love and my great need for all these people. I feel pulled back to my campsite, where the next day I'll get up and return to my life, to my obligations, to my joys and sorrows and achievements and failures, to my noble intentions and my petty resentments. And God is also in this feeling, but not as sky, but as the closeness of how it will feel when I go home the next day and walk into my house and hug my wife and son and daughter. How they will say they missed me, even though I was only gone a few days. And I will realize that my ability to feel this will be nothing I earned or arranged or willed, but only through my willingness to give myself over for a few days to quiet and solitude and sacred idleness. Amen.